You're listening to a Cripple and Co. production.
Welcome to A.G. Parker's Cabinet of Curiosities, an inclusive podcast focused on queer, disabled, and marginalized creatives and their art. If you can afford to help me keep the podcast going and help me get the transcription service in place, please sign up to my Patreon for as little as £1 a month on patreon.com/agparker. You can also buy me a coffee on Buy Me a Coffee, which you can find on my link tree. And now, on with the show. Today, we are joined by Crow Rudd. Crow Rudd is a disabled, non-binary, queer, internationally published punk poet, multiple slam champion, mentor, events producer, host, workshop facilitator, exhibition co-organizer, and network founder. Basically, they wear a lot of hats. They have featured at Manchester Punk Festival, Ghoul Pride, Wolds Pride, Leeds LGBT Plus Lit Fest, and was also unofficially dubbed IWW's Poet Laureate after headlining their international conference. Their debut collection, I Am a Thing of Rough Edges, Destroy Your Dead Name edition, is available from Whiskey and Beards Publishing. Crow, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. I think, so last time I saw you was at Rebel Riot Poetry. You were one of our featured acts, and I spent the entirety of one of your poems screaming, luckily, you know, on mute, with joy, because, oh my goodness, you're just fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you. No, Rebel Riot was absolutely fantastic.
It's so lovely getting to bring, you know, all these different wonderful people together, but particularly having someone who is disabled and queer. And would you describe yourself as more of a performance poet or a how would you?
I agree with more hardcore than that, to be honest. I'm more of a performer than I am a poet, really. I started at the same time. Literally wrote my first poem the night before my first performance.
Stop it! You didn't.
I did, yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I came into both at the exact same time, and I think it gives me quite a unique perspective on like the performance poetry world as a whole.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So, what would you say like the main differences are?
Well, just from talking to a lot of people who are more page than stage, I focus a lot more on the fluidity of stuff rather than how it looks. Like, I really don't care about the format unless I'm particularly writing something to get published, which is something I don't really do very often. I focus a lot more on how things sound and like how I'm capable of speaking. So I have to make sure that it matches my cadence and my rhythm and how many words I can say in a minute, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. For a slam, yeah, I'm sure. Are you a big fan of competitions, or do you just kind of like performing for the hell of it and for spreading a bit of joy?
I love slams. Like, they're one of my favorite parts of performance poetry. Don't do it for the competition, obviously, because that's a bit silly, but it's just I love slams because they're a showcase of the best that this cohort of poets can do.
Yeah,
like everyone brings their A game, even though like the competition isn't the important bit. The important bit is the entertainment and putting on a great event.
Yeah, and challenging yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Challenging yourself is a big part of that as well. I just love the pretend competitive nature of it. The whole, I'm going to bring my best stuff and everyone else is going to bring their best stuff and we're going to put on something absolutely remarkable.
Yeah. And your poetry has like this real intensity to it as well. And I can imagine that when you're restricted to a time limit as well, that just comes out even more punchy.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually just been told by one of my partners that I have a very different energy when I'm on stage than when I'm off. And it's not something I really noticed before, but since they mentioned it, I kind of see it. It's like, it's me, but times 10. Is how it was described, and it makes a lot of sense. I because of my love of slams and The US slam style is a big inspiration for me, and so are like music, like pop punk. So I'm very much like by default, I write poems to 3 minutes. It's not even a thing I have to choose to do. It just happens. I will just stop at either at the 3 minute mark or just before.
That's
It's
amazing.
autopilot. It's wonderful.
That's really handy, and I'm sure there's so many slam poets out there that are incredibly jealous.
It's great, but it also like I can't write shorter poems. I am incapable of writing like a sonnet or like a fucking haikus. I cannot do that at all.
Do you know what,
And
though? It's different things for different people. I know poets that absolutely love structure and they're very much page poets, and they probably really resent having to read their poems, let alone like perform something and, bring that kind of energy. And I love the variety that there is in the poetry world. Do you feel like there's any, oh, what, I don't even know which avenue to go down. Like, there's gatekeeping, sure, but do you feel like there's a bit of competition within the different spheres in terms of like spoken word artists, page poets, haiku writers? I don't know if they're a, a particular breed, but
Not competition. I've certainly seen a lot of misunderstandings about like what performance poetry is when I'm talking to page poets. And there's a lot of apprehension between disciplines, which I don't enjoy that much. I think everyone should like dip their fingers in as many pies as they can because it makes you a more well-rounded artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's always sad to see page poets deriding performance and the other way around as well. Like it's not all one way. I've definitely seen it go both ways. And personally, while I get like the page stuff, it's really not for me.
Yeah.
But not in a way that like I look down on. Like page poets, they're incredibly talented and do something I can't do. It's just, it's another thing to admire, another thing to, find joy in and, hype people up for, because that's what
Yeah,
it's all about at the end of the day.
absolutely. And like, some days I'm gonna want to sit down and read some poetry and just kind of get wrapped up in the writer's joy or like whatever they're trying to express. And some days I don't want to read, but I will quite happily sit and watch like a bunch of people shouting into a microphone and being very good at
100%, yeah. No,
it.
it's one thing I do love about page poetry, and the thing that I'm trying to do myself to mixed success is ergodic poetry, where you I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's the format where you make images out of the text.
Oh my God, yeah.
I know somebody who is incredibly, incredibly good at this. Her name's Hannah Lasagna, is a trans woman that lives in the Yorkshire area and is a really good performer as well. But her main focus over the last few years has been ergodic writing, and the images she creates are absolutely incredible.
Some of them are amazing.
Like she's made one that I remember very clearly is she wrote a poem about a tree, and the poem is a tree with leaves falling, but the leaves are letters and they make parts of the poem. And then at the bottom, all the leaves are kind of congealed at the bottom, and it's all like one big, like, chunk of poem, and it's absolutely beautiful.
That sounds gorgeous. I'll definitely have to look that up. I just love the variety of ways that you can approach this art form. And so when someone says to me like poetry just isn't for me, I'm like, the entire thing, like the whole universe of poetry.
Yeah, it's like saying pasta isn't for you. Like,
Yeah.
you've just not tried the pasta that you like.
Yeah,
You've
exactly.
not found the right pasta.
Yeah,
There's a
yeah.
lot more pasta out there than you think.
And actually, the things you think are not pasta could be pasta.
Absolutely, you can make pasta out of anything.
Yeah, but okay, well, for that, and this is specifically to pasta and not poetry, should you make pasta out of anything? Because, yeah, carrot pasta is not, no.
I'd definitely be interested to try it. I watch a food channel on YouTube, and they make really wacky stuff. And they once made lasagna out of Doritos, and that was really interesting.
I mean, I'm behind that, absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Crush them up and like put them into a dough and everything. It was really cool.
Into a dough as well. Wow. Do they retain? Sorry, now I'm like tangent. This podcast is great for tangents. Did the did they retain their crunchiness?
No, they were
Okay.
crushed up and like mixed with all the other ingredients and made into a dough. It did taste like Doritos though, apparently, according to the person that made it.
Wow.
Very
Okay.
Dorito heavy pasta. So yeah, you can make pasta out of anything.
This is great. I love this. Okay. And by that logic, you can make poetry out of anything.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I'm blown away. So is your identity as a this is very feels very jarring going from crushing up Doritos and making a lasagna to hey, so yeah, is your identity something that you tend to explore through your creativity?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like it's a big part of why I do what I do, and yeah, I don't write loads of poems about it, but like some of my regular like my I would say sounds a bit wanky, but classics are all trans and queer poems and stuff like that. And yeah, no, it's something I enjoy doing a lot of. Although it's I don't hit all the notes that I want to. It's so when I'm writing poetry, I can't just sit down and write. Like free writing is my biggest enemy in poetry. I can't just sit and like splurge a page or two out. I have to be inspired and have to have an idea.
Yeah.
And I really want to write some poems about trans joy and like the positive stuff, but I've just not had that spark, and that like makes me quite sad because I really want to like embody that in performance, and the only proper trans stuff I've written is really angry or quite sad.
I mean, all of them are needed. You know, it's so necessary for us to be able to hear other people's expressions and experiences of that. But I completely relate to you want to write something that's joyful. Like I would love to write like a I find joy in my disability, but oftentimes what comes out is, hey, fuck everyone for being ableist pieces of shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, being able to sit down, I think, and like, have a topic or a theme or a specific kind of question that you want to answer. I mean, what is it like to be God's favorite?
Yeah, exactly. Like prompts. I don't get it.
Yeah, or if I do manage to write something, it's normally something shit because I haven't really connected with it. Because it's like, and this isn't, it is related, it's not related. My therapist is a big fan of saying, like, things will come to the surface, and as they come up, you address them. And I feel like my creative process is very similar to that. Like, when stuff comes up, I can write about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
How would you, sorry,
But
carry on.
I was just gonna say, when it comes to prompts, I do sit in workshops and I do workshops quite a lot, but I really don't write the things that they ask me to write. It's very silly. I was sat in one of Chris Lanyon's workshops. Excellent poet. Get his books well. Hashtag ad. But yeah, I was sitting in one of his workshops and they were doing, I actually can't remember what the prompt was about, but I sat there the entire time writing a comedy poem about stealing dogs. It turned into a poem about depression, and the dog was depression, and it was get a bit, but it was very much a comedy about like stealing dogs from the RSPCA, whilst he was trying to lead this very serious, prompt-filled workshop that I was fully ignoring.
That's amazing. I love that. I think the worst, the most jarring ones that I've done have been like, when you go to kind of a meditation and writing workshop, or indeed run one, and then everybody else comes back with these really like, ooh, grounded, beautiful, like beautiful poetry. Like everything is very visual and very and then I'm sat there going, well, my brain has given me this instead, which is a hellscape. So then having to like share that with it's very odd. I read a really cool article. Sorry, we're going with my tangents in my brain at the moment, but I read a really cool article this morning, which is about disabled creatives having to unlearn the stuff that they learn or pick up in able workshops. And I find that a really interesting concept because so often we're kind of like forced into this one route of creativity or the creative process, and it has to be done this way because that's the correct way that everyone else does it. But how do you find your disability influences your creative process?
Send me that article, by the way. That sounds really cool.
It's so good.
So I, let's see. Well, the ADHD is definitely a part of the whole like can't do prompts shit. It's not something I'm capable of engaging with. And when I'm running workshops, I really need to like be conscious of like, is this something I would be interested in and want to do? Or like, would it keep me engaged? Would it like, would it, yeah, would it work as a workshop for myself? And if the answer is no, then I'll go do something else. But yeah, the main thing with that is that I need to really watch my energy levels and just need to make sure that I'm not like overexerting. So for example, I run workshops for a non-binary writing group, and it's wonderful and it's so like fulfilling, but at the same time, sometimes I just don't have the spoons when I get on, so I have to kind of like be like, sorry guys, but you know, can someone else take the reins, or can we just be relaxed and just hang out for a bit? And everyone's really cool and chill with all of that, so like, you know, I found a good group of people to like be able to function around as my disabled self, which is really important.
So important.
But yeah, it's also like I have to force myself to take a step back, which is really difficult for me when there's a lot of stuff that I want to do. So I currently have like six projects on the go at once, and I've been like this for the last year, and I'm really bad at telling myself no, and that's something I still have to like I still have to unlearn the whole like working mindset and just approach things at my own pace. So it's something I'm still struggling with, really.
Damn it. I was going to say, if you've got any tips for that, because I'm also, always like six projects on the go at once and driving myself a little bit mad by, but yeah, it's that friction between wanting to do stuff and then actually what you're physically or mentally capable of doing at the time.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, my tip would be get people to work with you that understand that or are similar to you. Like I work with a lot of disabled creatives in most of these projects, and everyone's either similar or fully gets it. So there's no issue of like being worried about, oh, I'm too tired for this, or I scheduled this meeting but I'm going to have to cancel it. Everyone fully understands, and that makes a really good conducive working environment. And yeah, really helps me be more confident in my disabilities and with the amount of work that I do or don't take on.
That's so cool. So I don't know if we've actually publicized this at all. I think we're still probably working towards like a proper launch, but myself and a few other queer and disabled creatives, we've got drag, we've got poets, we've set up a cooperative, and it's
Oh,
so
nice.
it's exactly as you said. Like if we've got a meeting scheduled, but one of us is sick or one of us has got something, going on, everyone's so understanding and everyone kind of wants to share the workload.
Yeah, that's really important. Absolutely.
It's so good. It's like it's not really something that I've experienced before. I think it there's like this kind of capitalist, able-bodied, very straight cishet norm model that we kind of are used to. And then yeah, unpicking that and unlearning it is like joyous.
That's brilliant. Oh, I'm so excited to see what you make.
Ah, yeah, me too. We're like we've all got so many things going on. It's just, yeah, it's wild. We'll get there. We'll get there. So tell us a little bit about the UK Trans Performers Network.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So a bit similar to what you talked about with your cooperative, I am in the middle of building a national network of trans and non-binary poets and performers. Because there really isn't anything for us, is there, when you think about it? Sorry, I have this whole spiel like loaded up. It's the thing that I say to everyone. You've got the Young Poets Network. You've got the Poetry Society. You've got Outspoken. You've got all of these groups that cater to poets and then performers at large. But it's all very cishet centric. And there's nothing, there's no backbone in this country for trans people. Like, we are struggling more and more month on month with everything that's happening in this country. And there really needs to be something. So yeah, I'm building it. I'm part of a very cool team of trans creatives, mostly poets and friends of mine, that who are all like committed to helping me build this thing. It's we're currently struggling on what exactly it is, because I started it as a network, but we're talking about looking at union activities, we're looking at agency responsibilities, all of this stuff, because there is this big gap in, not to be capitalist about it, but there's a big gap in the market for this stuff. And it's really important things that are catered for everybody else that really need to exist. So yeah, we're currently applying for funding bids, funding grants, and I've actually just sent off a £24,000 grant, so I hope we get
Whoop, whoop. Oh my
it.
God.
If we do, then we can publicly launch and I can pay people for their time and, put a design budget in there and all this really cool stuff.
That would be amazing. That would be so. I know even from like just the Facebook group, the benefits from that. And so if you kind of like expand that outwards, I think that's going to be wonderful.
For anyone listening, we are on Facebook. We've also just launched a Discord server, so you can come and talk to us.
Whoop, whoop.
But yeah, we're looking at doing public launches in the next year, like getting on all the social media, doing like a big recruitment push in like Pride festivals and other festivals.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
It's it, it yeah, like I said, it's a lot. I do a lot, but it's fine.
It's fine because you've got a good team of people with you that are all kind of doing, they're all on board.
Yeah, the team is absolutely wonderful. Quick shout out to Faye Roberts, whose love for spreadsheets I don't think is matched by anything in my life. And it's just so beautiful to have somebody so not only up for doing the tedious admin side of things, but actively enjoy it. Absolutely wonderful blessing. Absolutely the best. Faye is the best. Just
Is
for
amazing.
everything, not just for their spreadsheets, but everything. Just absolutely wonderful human.
I love that. I love it when people give like little shout outs and they're so enthusiastic about
Just...
other people just being fantastic.
Oh, of course, that's what this whole thing's about. Like I'm not in poetry for myself. That would be incredibly vain of me. I don't have the self-esteem for that.
There's definitely people in
Oh.
poetry just for themselves, though.
There is, yeah.
But luckily, I think I've managed to surround myself with people who are all in it for, like inciting a bit of a inciting. Yeah.
Revolution.
Inspiring change. Yeah, okay. Oh my God. Sorry, my brain is not fully functioning today, which is why we have me as present. Crow. Something that I ask my guests on the podcast is, if you were a mythical creature, what would you be and why?
Mythical birds.
I will say I did have one of my guests this year as the fourth crow. I don't know if you heard that episode, Hamish Macbeth, but they were the fourth crow, and I know your name is Crow, and I don't know if that's like, but yeah, that was a really interesting.
Whilst I'm thinking, what's the fourth crow?
So the fourth crow is a Scottish, and I'm going to probably bastardize an explanation for this, but it's a Scottish nursery rhyme, and basically there's three crows, and they go through the verses, and this crow did this, and then this crow did this, and this crow did this, and then they get to the fourth verse, which is about the fourth crow, and the fourth crow wasn't there at all, is basically what that verse is. And so to Himish, it's representative of how disabled and queer people throughout history have always been present, but yet never, kind of written about, or history has been kind of written by the wrong people, and so we've been excluded from it.
Oh wow.
I
None
know.
of the answers are going to be as good as that.
Oh no. I mean, we also have I Just Wanted to Look Hot on a Rock and drag sailors to their death. So, I mean, there's a really good mixed bag of everything is valid here.
Nice. I'd probably say Phoenix.
Yes. Okay. And why?
Something about how they die and reincarnated is speaks to me for like my journey, because like when I started poetry, I was probably one of the worst places of my life. I had a massive mental breakdown, ended up homeless, dropped out of university, kind of destroyed everything good in my life at that point. And I started my poetry journey when I was homeless, and I've kind of built up from there, and now I'm in a really cool place in my life where I'm doing all this cool stuff, being invited to talk on podcasts, I've got a book, get to build this really cool community in the country and both like locally in York as well, and just be able to give back in a way that I was never able to, and like really just like live in the way that I want to. So yeah, a bit more a bit more like self-contained than the fourth crow answer, which was bloody brilliant, and I can't match that. But yeah, Phoenix.
I think that's a wonderful answer, a really wonderful answer, and one that so many of us can relate to. And I think if you're part of the queer community or part of the disabled community, you've probably had a similar kind of experience where you die and then come back to life or really have to rebuild yourself. So I think that's a wonderful thing that a lot of people relate to. Crow, I'm clearly hardly capable of talking today. So so I'm going to hand over to you. Have you got something that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I could do a poem if you wanted.
I would love you to do a poem.
Okay. This is I'll do the new one. I'll do the new one. I've not been writing much recently. I've had a couple of months of really intense writer's block, and I just like crushed it like last month when I finished a poem I started last year. So this is called In Which the Poet Discovers How They Want to Be Loved. When I love, it is with my whole chest. It pops out like a school anatomy model, ribs dislodged, lungs pushed aside, take the heart in both hands. This too is detachable. Offered up on a silver platter for nothing more than a promise to look after it, keep it safe, pass it round and get a good look. Note the ventricles, veins, and capacity for longing. Put it back gently when you're done. Whatever you do, don't drop it. Sorry. At some point, you are going to meet everyone who is ever going to love you. There is a time limit. A stopwatch hammering against my chest. I will get the high score if it kills me. Personal best. My love will rage over squall-battered beaches, boats moored, trees strewn. I'll be a cliche romantic and write about the moon. Detail every crater and loose rock. Pine over sidelong glances and don't be afraid to look silly. Because when I love, it is messily, wholeheartedly, and with my whole damn chest. I love that we can be in love. Like it's a place, like it's somewhere we can live. Like if I could live in love, I would never leave. I would squat in love until I'm a part of the furniture. Loved as much as the antique table or several dozen plants. Get that well-used shine that makes that charity shop fine so enticing. Put my heart upon the mantelpiece flanked by tea light holders. Tell every guest my story. Get so comfortable that you take me for granted. Cause I just want to be here. I just want to be alive, and I just want to be. Cards on the table. My love used to come with a warning label. An orange triangle and a black skull. Do not ingest for fear of heartache. Crippling emotions amplified by borderline recklessness, selfishness. Nails digging in has held on for dear life. I never want to get hurt like this. I always seem to get hurt like this. Maybe my relationship with love is the reason I get hurt like this. I have lived without love long enough to know that I cannot survive without it. Life is not worth living if happiness is just out of reach, so close I could taste it. So I throw myself at any chance of being adored. Ignore the bruises and scrapes and the cracked porcelain at the center of my chest, because at least I was wanted for something. And damaged goods were surely better than never having been loved in the first place. No. No. No, love is not worth compromising yourself over. Nothing is worth sacrificing parts of who you are. Life is about more than what you can do for other people, and you should never be taken for granted. My heart is not porcelain, and it is not whole. I am still learning how to honor it properly, but it is tenderly reinforced by everyone who has ever loved me, who I have loved. This is the house in which I build my church. Spine steeples and cavernous, breathing halls. The pulpit pulsing, throbbing, living. Thanks.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so many lines in that. The one about if you could live in love, and I can't remember exactly what the line is, but you'd squat in it. That was just,
The fastest line in the world, yeah. I
it's so good. Yeah,
was so proud of myself when I thought of that. I was so proud of myself.
is absolutely beautiful. It's such a testament to what love can be, and I'm not going to say should be, but like it gives you a really good kind of center of gravity when it comes to infatuation, love, and self-worth. So yeah, beautiful poem. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
And you just wrote that this year.
Yeah, last month.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like 2023 is your year. You're smashing
You.
it. So good. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Do no evil, take no shit. Destroy your dead name. Destroy your dead name.
I feel like destroying my dead name is something I have to do on a weekly basis, because do you find that even though you've told people this is my new name, their records magically and mystically get reverted back to the old one?
Yes, but I've also had the reverse, which is really nice. I've recently been diagnosed with diabetes, and I was on call to someone from the hospital talking about it, and she started the call with, "How? What do you want me to call you?" I was like, "Oh, this is new.
Oh.
Never had this from the NHS before." So I told her, and then she was like, "Yeah, cool, all good." And then she sent me a letter with that name on it, and I was like, "Yes." And then when talking to my doctors about the call and like what was going on, they were like, "Oh, I've seen on my records that the person from the hospital called you this. Do you want us to call you this as well?"
Oh.
I was like, "Yes, please. I've not changed it legally yet, but if that's not an issue, then yes." And they were like, "Don't worry, we don't need we don't need it to be changed legally for us to update our records." So yeah, my doctors now know my actual name, which is really nice.
That is wonderful, and it's such a lovely note to end on as well, at a time when there's so much terrible stuff in the news and in social media as well for trans people, to have that as a little story to kind of warm us. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and pasta can be made out of everything.
Fuck's sake. Oh my God.
That's the one to end on. Pasta can be made of anything.
There's going to be some really irresponsible pasta making after this
Oh,
podcast.
yes, please. Take pictures. Tag me.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yeah. Please tag Crow in your weird and wonderful pasta experiments.
And for a more serious note, trans people find each other. We are stronger together. Come join my
Do everybody do it, everyone do it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a very wonderful, oh, it's such a fucking wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much, Crow. It's been a delight. Thank you.
You are wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, anytime.